WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Now we're going to switch shows from Annie to Fiddler on the Roof, because in just a few moments, my guest will be Herschel Bernardi, now playing Tevye in the production of Fiddler on the Roof. And this is Herschel Bernardi.
The old country. Here's a horse cart, there's a wood stove. Here people work and struggle and starve a little, and get sick and get married and give birth and raise children and fight with each other and laugh and cry and live and die. A tough people. They have to be. It's a tough life. But one thing holds them together. Makes them a community. Tradition. Who day and night must scramble for a living, feed a wife and children, say his daily prayers, and who has the right, as master of the house, to have the final word at home? The papa, the papa. Tradition, the papa. Who must know the way to make a proper home, a quiet home, a kosher home? Who must raise a family and run the home, so Papa's free to read the holy book? The mama, the mama. Tradition, the mama. He goes to Hebrew school. At 10, he learns a trade. When Papa picks a bride for him, he hopes she's pretty. The sun, the sun. Tradition, the sun, the sun. Tradition. And who does Mama teach to mend and tend and fix, preparing her to marry whoever Papa picks?
The daughter, the daughter. Tradition, the daughter.
Herschel Bernardi singing a song from Fiddler on the Roof, Tradition. It's a song that I'm sure many people are familiar with. Joining me on Fresh Air now is Herschel Bernardi in Philadelphia playing Tevye, the leading role in Fiddler on the Roof. Herschel Bernardi has played Tevye for over 2 years, a total of over 700 performances. Tevye is a role which relates well to his background because he got his start as a child in Yiddish theater. Both of his parents were Yiddish theater veterans. Herschel Bernardi's other roles include Sholem Aleichem in The World of Sholem Aleichem, followed
Wrong.
By... Wrong, okay.
Wrong. I played Mendele the Book Peddler, which was a character invented by the author from a play called The World of Sholem Aleichem, which included works of Yitzchak Leib Peretz, or I.L. Peretz, and Sholem Aleichem, and folk tales. Thank you.
Good. Proceed.
Next.
Followed by Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman, and he was in A Thousand Clowns, and Last of the Red Hot Lovers. Some of his films include Irma La Douce and Love with the Proper Stranger. On television, Herschel Bernardi starred in his own series, Arnie, and played Lieutenant Jacoby on Peter Gunn.
Jacoby. Thank you.
Okay, long O. He's also heard as the voice of Charlie the Tuna in the Tuna Should Taste Good, Not Have Good Taste commercials. Fiddler on the Roof is now at the Academy of Music through August 24th. Well, welcome to Fresh Air.
You scored 94.5.
Okay, then. That's almost an A. In playing Tevye, does that relate to your own background very much, being that you were in Yiddish theater?
Not only does it relate to my background, I really, to a great extent, am playing my father. his character, meaning his emotional makeup, is very much like Tevye's, or was very much like Tevye's. So I remember much of that, and I instilled the part with a lot of his feelings. Not mine. I'm quite different. Herschel is, but I remember Papa, and I remember his gentleness, his ability to bend with the wind, which I don't do very well, and his understanding of his children, which I'm beginning to get.
Have you talked to with either relatives of yours, older relatives, or immigrants, or other people about shtetl life, people that may have memories of shtetl life?
Of course I have. I wanted to see more of the underlying seriousness, because the play does reflect some of Sholem Aleichem, but it still is Broadway musical comedy approach to that world, and I wanted to get more of the importance. For instance, the song in Tradition. Usually in the beginning, when it was first conceived, Tradition was to explain to an audience what the hell the show is about, which is what it's about, the breakdown of tradition and love. That's those two things. And sometimes you throw that away and it becomes a nice opening number. Even in my recording, I didn't understand it that well. I understand it much better today. And that is how important tradition was to those people in order to survive. And that was the essence. So today when I do Tevye and we open the show, it is so important, it becomes the most important song in the show. I make it important. And that's what I discovered by these conversations with people from the old country, how important it was to keep a stability.
Do they have the urge to offer you critiques in your portrayal?
Mostly when they do, they don't. But when they do, it's always in like some of the Hebrew words and some of the dress, you know, the costume and so forth. And very little of that. It's quite authentic, this play.
What varies most from performance to performance? Are there things that surprise you at different points of the show?
Sometimes it depends on other actors, the audience. The audience has a lot to do with the performance.
How so?
It's a third eye. It's a love affair. If an audience, and I know that there are deceitful audiences, meaning there are audiences out for a good time, and they'll kid you along. They don't mean to, of course. This is all in the part of an actor's point of view. They will laugh uproariously at some jokes, and you'll be lulled into thinking that, boy, we've got a great audience tonight, meaning a receptive audience. What we're getting is people who really need to laugh, and they don't want to cry, and they don't want to have a bad time. Usually it's a Saturday night audience who's drunk, you know, or at least they've eaten a lot and they've drunk somewhat. And you begin to characterize people by their responses. And usually a Saturday night audience is an audience who will do a lot of laughing in the first act, a lot of coughing in the second. And then during the week, your serious audience will come and not laugh that much, but there will be a lot of sobbing in the audience toward the end. So, you know, it just varies. That has some effect on the performance, although classically it shouldn't, but it does. Other actors, depending on their amount of fatigue, how tired they are, generally speaking, and how excited they are that night, how much the adrenaline is flowing, that will determine the difference. But the play is essentially the same every night, except for these little differences.
It is essentially the same every night then, and you've performed it an awful lot. Mm-hmm. Does your perspective switch from, well, let's see, in doing something over and over again, something which is really an art form, but it's done repetitively over and over again, night after night, do you have a switching perspective from this is something which is my art, and I'm not meaning to make that sound real heavy, but an art form which you do, or something that, on the other hand, can just be your job?
Yes, it's both. It's absolutely both. I'm fortunate in this particular play. The content of this play means so much to me, to Hesh, to the guy, that I'm never failed to be moved by this play. I never fail to be moved. I mean, it's always, something in the play always moves me. If I take a look at the Fiddler and I see my people there, I just go to pieces. So there's no way I cannot be affected every night by the content. Usually, if you do a play, I did La Mancha, I did other plays that are art and they're marvelous, but after a while you say, well, here we go again. Where are the jokes? Because you have to use technique in order to keep it fresh. Here, I don't have to use technique that much. I just let it happen.
Are there parts of the production that require, a particular amount of concentration? Are there spots in the show that you're looking forward to getting over?
Yes, absolutely.
Could you share some of that?
That's a wonderful question. Yes, I. There are places in the play which are not very well written, which take an extra effort as an actor to overcome the lack of writing and the lack of even blocking, even the staging is a little crazy and cockeyed. So I don't look forward to those scenes. And when I finally get to them, we work harder on those scenes, really, and it's not the most pleasant experience. So we're happy when we get through with them. I won't tell you which scenes they are.
The show's been shown, seen, and produced pretty much all over the world.
75 countries.
What are the different countries that you've performed in?
I've only performed in the United States in Fiddler. I've done similar material in Canada, but that's about it.
Have you seen any of the other foreign productions?
Not only have I seen one, but one blew my mind. It was the Japanese production. It proved something to me which I was not conscious of, which the producers of this play were not conscious of when they produced it. And that is Fiddler on the Roof is by no means a Jewish play. It is appreciated by Jews for specific reasons because of customs, traditions, background, and heart. And even a pathological condition of Jews, which we can talk about later. But as a play, and the subject matter of the play is so universal, that one Japanese said to me, he said, "How could you do this in America? It's so Japanese." And the reason, I saw it in Tokyo. The reason for it is the village life in Japan. They know nothing about Jews or Russians or Jews and Gentiles or the Bible. As a matter of fact, one of the guys who play the rabbi in that production, later I found this out, of course, that in rehearsal he came in with a prop, a crucifix around his neck. And the director says, no, these are Jews. He says, but it's the Bible, isn't it? And he says, no, it's another part of the Bible. Because in Japan it's Shinto and Buddha. So what we were faced with, or what they were faced with, was identifying this play with their lives. And what they found was that it is very close to village life in Japan, and especially after the war, after the Second World War, when the American conquerors came in and threw them out of their villages, one. Two, the industrial age forced prearranged marriages to be abandoned. Three, that they were poverty-stricken, and therefore they had to live a certain way to survive under American domination. And four, that the young girls would actually surgically round out their eyes so they could marry the American conqueror. And it was so close, the play was inadvertently so close to their lives.
Was the narrative kept the same?
It was identical to the American production. And they didn't care. They heard Jew, they heard Russian, they heard certain custom words that they had no identity.
Was it in English?
In Japanese.
Was it in Japanese, right.
They heard those words. You know, they were intact. You know, names like Anatevka was in the play. But the Japanese didn't care because the play was so close to their lives.
Do you meet many Jews in Japan?
No, except the European Jews. Yeah. There is one Japanese rabbi who was sent to the Hebrew Union Theological Seminary here in the United States to try to convert Japanese people to Judaism, and it didn't work. So he has a congregation there, but they're all European.
How religious is the cast, the current cast of Fiddler?
If you look down the list of our cast, it's at least 60% Italian. I don't know how religious they are, but they are Italian. I guess some are Catholic. I know some are Buddhists. But as far as religion is concerned, I don't think there's much going on in the play.
How about in the Yiddish theater experience that you had?
Very little religion. Mostly culture and mostly just identity thing. No, the religion played a very small part. I played religious people, my folks and Yiddish actors. Let's put it this way. An actor in general is a gypsy. In general, he has an underworld mentality, a carny, as we say, a carny mentality. And anybody else are civilians. Anybody else is a civilian. Or as we said in the Yiddish theater, we call them private people because we were public people. I didn't know that until recently. That's why we called them private people. They did not participate in our lives. We lived in hotels, they lived in homes. To invite an actor to their homes was not accepted. We couldn't date. I mean, I was too young, but an actor could not date a private girl. Because they were disrespectable, unrespectable. Irrespectable? What's the word? Unrespectable?
Unrespected.
Unrespected. They were not respectable people. The actors were bums. So we have a reputation of being gypsies. And therefore we comply with the stereotype by becoming gypsies. And therefore lead what they would not consider respectable lives. We travel, we live in hotels, and we're kind of wild. And most important, I think, I mean, if you see the connection, most of our fans were of the underworld, gangsters in the old days, in the 30s, the 20s and the 30s, Yiddish theater. I remember what we called Patrioten, or the people who really loved Yiddish theater, were racketeers and gamblers and gangsters. And we used to go to parties with them after the show.
And, of course, in New York, during the time of Yiddish theater, there was also an Italian theater, which...
It flourished.
Yeah, which flourished and resembled, in many ways...
Very much.
...the Yiddish theater of the time. And probably had the similar importance to the community.
To the Italian community.
To the Italian community living there.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about your childhood and about the Yiddish theater experience of your parents and how that led to your own experience?
Just what I said. I was traveling most of the time. I went to 26 different schools for specifically that reason. We never stayed in one place. And it was economic. Some cities we'd go to where the Jewish population was large and supported the theater, we'd stay for 3 to 6 months. Other places, a month was enough, and we'd move on. It was a true gypsy. And I was a new kid in school all the time.
Did you ever work with Molly Picon in those days?
Well, I didn't work with her when I was a kid. I worked with her recently in concert. Yeah.
You also did some work in the Borscht Belt, in the Catskills. How does that relate to the Yiddish theater in terms of audiences and what you were doing?
It's a direct outgrowth of the Yiddish theater.
You were a comic.
Well, I was a dramatic director, so I did comedy. I did anything you want. You name it, I did it. I made faces at the pool. And that's what a social director does. You just kind of keep people happy. I never saw the country. I saw the casino, the social hall in my room, and the pool. Sometimes I'd hang around the pool.
Can I ask you to share any of your techniques for making people feel at home? Because it is a vacation.
You stick your finger in your nose and your ears, and you make faces, and you insult people, and you do things like that, which I didn't like too much. I didn't like that part of it. I would rather be in the casino and direct the shows.
How about you were driving a cab at that time, too? Was that a survival thing? Or
all of it.
Yeah.
All of it was in order to make a living so I could be an actor. Later on, or when it would happen. It didn't happen for a long time. I was an overnight sensation at the age of 35.
Is that from Shalom Aleichem?
No, it was Peter Gunn. That was when what we call a career really began. Shalom Aleichem got me into legitimate theater, as we say, because before that I was, like you say, a cab driver and the Borscht Belt. And also I did political theater. I did street theater. Lots of street theater.
Who did you work with?
Henry Wallace. In 1948, I campaigned. I was part of the campaign for Henry Wallace, and we organized a lot of what they called caravans. We went all across the country doing songs, dances, comedy, sketches, and what have you. So there was a really rich history in that during that period for me.
So let me get back to talking about the role of Tevye, which you're currently doing in Fiddler. How much liberty do you take in the Tevye role in terms of creating your own Tevye?
Completely. All.
Is it something that changes from night to night or it grows with you?
Yes, it's grown in the last, 15 years ago I did this, in 66 and 67, so I said 13 and 14 years. Then I did it again for a summer stock thing, and I'd grown older, and I'd understood it a little better. And because of those conversations we talk about, I did some research into the Jewish condition, as I call it, and learned a lot.
Can I ask you what made an impact on you so much that it would have changed your portrayal?
Yeah, anti-Semitism, the Arab world, the black world, the whole, what I consider a critical situation for Jews generally in the world, that is growing. It's not diminishing, it's growing. And it sounds paranoid, but the old joke is, just because they're out to get you. I mean, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. So there is a consciousness on my part of anti-Semitism, peculiar forms of anti-Semitism that weren't there before. When I did Fiddler before, those forms were not as powerful as they are today. And they're much different than Christian anti-Semitism. There's Arabic anti-Semitism, there's black anti-Semitism, and it just goes on this way, which I became conscious of in the last 13 years, and I began to do some research in order to do a play. And during that research, I discovered certain things about myself, about my condition. And I use the word condition as opposed to my cultural identity. It is a condition, being Jewish.
Was it, did getting older have an impact on how you played the role?
Yes, very much.
Because Tevye is an older character.
Of course, less makeup. And also, well, just a deeper understanding of the character, because I was able to identify with him because I have three children that are grown now, when then they were infants, or not infants, they were young.
Okay, I won't pry. You've already warned me off. Well, let me ask you about some of your TV work. You had said that playing Lieutenant Jacoby had brought you really into a fairly high visibility. In general, has your association with television, or when you were most associated with television, has that helped or hindered your career as far as stage goes?
Oh, it's helped. There's no question that television and motion pictures reach that many more people, and depending on the quality of the reaching, that's how much it helps your theater career.
Do you have a what do you like about one type of setting in television, film, or stage?
What do I like about each one?
Yeah, what's attractive?
In the next 2 minutes, I can tell you. Theater, as I said before, is a love affair, so there's nothing to beat that. But I can't beat that. That's for a 2-month-old infant that I am, applause is everything, whatever response. So there's no question that that is my favorite form. Motion pictures, or rather, TV, tests my mettle a lot more as an actor, as a technician, because you have to know it right away. You got to be right there with it. You can't rehearse a month and figure it out. You have to be right, because you don't have time for rehearsal. You don't have the budget for it, let's put it that way. So that's kind of exciting. Commercials are even more so. In commercials, because I do a lot of voiceovers, that's where I really have to be tested, so to speak. So I come to a commercial session with everything flowing, ready to go, because I know I'm in trouble if I don't. It's that kind of a thing.
Well, let me ask you, for instance,
sure.
Charlie the Tuna,
yeah.
that commercial. I would think that, well, after all, it's what, maybe 30 seconds of copy that's eventually going to get on the air in the commercial. So wouldn't you have all day to get that right?
Oh, no, we do. At least 6 spots, at least. And because advertising agency executives, by reputation, are so hysterical and panicky and frightened, you have to contend with that more than you have to do with your own talent. That's really what the big blockage is on those sessions.
Do people come up to you and ask you to do Charlie the Tuna all the time?
Of course.
Well, unless you volunteered.
Oh, sometimes I do it gratuitously. As we finish this part of the show, I will say, and tell them Charlie sent you.
Okay, well, let me just ask you, what are your plans for Fiddler on the Roof?
My plans is what the plans of the play are, is to go for quite a while. This is an extended tour. It's a television tour. We call it a television tour because the ads are on television, which is very rare for a Broadway.
How does that influence the audiences? Because you are, for instance, the ads are appearing like with all the TV magazine morning magazine shows.
We are getting a TV audience. A lot of them have never seen a live play before, and it's wonderful.
Do you think that's broadening the audience in terms of the Jewish?
I think inadvertently. The producers makes it a big virtue, but I don't think he did it originally as a virtue. He did it as a moneymaker, and it is. But inadvertently, it is broadening the audience for live theater. No question about it.
Well, thanks very much for coming in this afternoon, Herschel. I've been speaking with Herschel Bernardi, who is now playing Tevye in the production of Fiddler on the Roof, now at the Academy of Music through August 24th.
August 24th, yeah.